Anyway, folks, let's just for a moment let's think about these words from Luke. So, if you or from Ruth's the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. So, if you have your Bible, please do open it, and we're going to think particularly just about a little passage tonight. Let me say this: the Bible uses different language and different words to describe the Christian experience. And there's lots of different words that are used. For example, the Bible speaks at one level about believing, or trusting. The Bible speaks about being born of God. The Bible speaks about being saved. The Bible speaks about being justified. The Bible speaks about being adopted. The Bible speaks about being sanctified. The Bible speaks about being redeemed. Different words. But let me say to you tonight that much of this language is pointing in the same direction. It's saying at heart the same thing, that there needs to be an experience in our hearts and in our lives, an experience of God. And sometimes people maybe get hung up on having to use a certain word. We should use all these words. They are all Bible words. The key thing is not what word you use. The key thing is, have I experienced what these words are describing? And tonight, we come to look at a little picture of what happened in the life of a lady called Ruth, who lived a very long time ago. And as we were saying this morning, she was the great granny of King David, and she was an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. She started out as a Moabite woman, knowing little or nothing about the Lord God Jehovah. But can I suggest to you that when she married one of Naomi's sons, that for the first time in her life, she began to hear about the Lord God Jehovah. And I suspect that she began to see in the life of her mother-in-law, Naomi, something of a faith that was vibrant and real. And so tonight we're simply going to notice how Ruth was brought to see her life turned around as she put her trust in the God of Naomi, and as she was converted, if we want to use that language, to the Lord God Almighty. In Matthew chapter 18, and we've been thinking of the little children tonight, and we thank the Lord for them. It says this, and this is what it says in the Authorized Version. It says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God." Now, folks, think about that. The Lord Jesus, the same Lord Jesus who took the little children and he blessed them, he says, "I say unto you, unless you be converted and become like little children, you shall not see and you shall not enter the kingdom of God." So tonight, just for a limited time, and quite a short time, I want to ask you a very direct question. And this is why somebody like myself asks people this question. Because Jesus asked it in the first place. Are you converted? Are you converted? I'm not actually asking, are you perfect? Because you're not. But are you converted? Are you a converted man? Are you a converted woman? Are you a converted young person? I'm not asking you, have you come to some place in your life where you feel you're better than anyone else? Not at all. We should never be feeling that. We all make mistakes. We all, even after professing conversion, at times make a blunder of things. What do we do in that situation? Well, we pick ourselves up and dust ourselves down and by the grace of God say, Lord, I made a bit of a mess of that. Please forgive me and help me to step out in the road again. Tonight in Ruth chapter 1 and those verses 16 and 17, I don't have them on the screen. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Tonight, just for a little while, let me just draw your attention to a few things. The change that came into Ruth's life. There was a real change happened. She didn't become perfect. She was still an ordinary woman with ordinary problems. And I'm sure Ruth, like everybody else, made a mess of things at times and didn't always get it right. Sometimes we have a tendency to blow these Bible figures up into almost super saints. But they weren't super saints. They were ordinary people, saved by God's grace. There was only ever one super saint and superhero in the Bible, and his name is Jesus. So the change in Ruth's life, first of all, it meant a commitment to the Lord. Very simply, what does it say? Ruth says, "Your God is going to be my God." Here's this woman called Ruth, who was brought up in Moab, and the people of Moab did not worship the Lord God Jehovah. They had their own gods. They worshipped them. But Ruth says, that's going to change. From this moment on, your God is going to be my God. I am going to commit my life to him. And to him alone. I am going to turn away from these other things, these other gods. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And notice what she says. Your God will be my God. It's personal. It's intimate. There's something that's going to affect her life. Folks, isn't that exactly the same when somebody gives their life to the Lord Jesus? First and foremost, it means turning from another way of life, from maybe following other things that are number one, and saying, look, some of those other things, there's not maybe a thing wrong with them, but they're not going to be number one in my life. They're now, at the very least, they're number two, because number one is Jesus. Are you willing to do that? That's what it means to be converted. And again, can I say, in all that I say here tonight, for some people, this experience, it might be a very dramatic thing. I can think of people for whom it has been dramatic. But like the Damascus Road experience of Saul. But listen to this. For other people, it's not dramatic. In my own life, it wasn't dramatic. It was actually as simple, without going into all the details, of in a closed room, getting down on my knees before the Lord. Nothing dramatic about it. And it may be that for some of you, that's the case for you. And I sometimes worry that people are waiting for some bolt from the sky before they're converted. Folks, the bolt from the sky may never happen, but you still need to be converted. Do you see that? Is there somebody for whom that's a word tonight? You've been waiting for some bolt from the blue, when really, at the end of the day, what you need to do is maybe to go back to your home and go into your bedroom and shut the door and get down at the side of your bed and do what needs to be done and make your peace with God. Nothing dramatic about it, but nonetheless real. It's a commitment to the Lord. And the second thing that I want you just to notice this evening is this. It meant a commitment to the Lord's people. Ruth says, "Your people will be my people." She turns and aligns herself with Naomi and with the people of Israel and the people who worship the Lord God Almighty. And folks, that's what happens when somebody becomes a Christian. It says in Acts chapter 2 that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In other words, people were coming to Christ. People were being saved. And what happened? Well, one of the things that happened was that they were added to the church. They were brought into the family of God. The notion of a kind of a lone ranger Christianity, where you really don't involve yourself with a church family, is completely foreign to the Bible. And I do have to say that now and again, thankfully not very often, a minister like myself can come across people who profess to be Christians, but as regards any real involvement in the local church, it's just not there. And I do worry about people like that. Because the gospel that is taught in the Bible is a gospel that says you need to be converted, you need to come to the Lord Jesus, and you need to get involved in the local church. Find a local church that you're happy with, where you'll be taught and encouraged in the things of God and where the gospel is preached, and get involved. It means a commitment to God's people. The third thing I want to draw to your attention tonight about this change in Ruth's life was it meant a readiness to count the cost. Ruth says to Naomi, she says, "Naomi, where you go, I'm going to go." You see, think about Ruth for a minute. Think about what she was about to do. She was about to leave her whole background, her home from when she was a wee baby, her country, and she was about to step into a new situation. Was that easy? Not at all. There was a real cost for Ruth. And I suppose all I'm trying to get across at this point is this, folks, that to be converted to the Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean that we become perfect. We still make many a blunder. But to truly be converted to the Lord Jesus and to give our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for life and for eternity, it means remembering his words that if any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is a cost. Young person here tonight, there is a cost. There are so many temptations and pressures, and lovely to see some young people here tonight. Can I say to you, young people, there are people in this community, like any community, who have no time whatsoever for the gospel. And I know this for a fact, that there are some people in this community who would love to see nothing more than Christians, young and old, being tripped up. And then those people being able to say, you know, they once said that they were Christians, and this is what they've done. You may say, are you sure about that? I am absolutely sure of it. You see, the world has no time for the gospel. And there are many pressures. So young people, and indeed older people, I say to you tonight, stand firm. There is a cost. Sometimes it can be very difficult. And there will be people who will try to pull you in all sorts of directions. But by the grace of God, stand firm. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to walk away. It's hard to, whenever everybody seems to be doing that thing, to say, you know, part of me saying I would love to get involved, but I know I don't do that. By God's grace, take that stand. It's not easy, but God will honor you, young person. The Word of God says, those who honor me, I will honor them. You know, I was just thinking, just to use an illustration about the recent referendum, you know, before the vote on Thursday, people were asking the question, you know, what will it cost if we stay in? And people were asking, what will it cost to pull out? Those are very good questions. Well, here's an even more important question. What will it cost a person to step into the kingdom of God? And here's another one. What will it cost a person to stay out? It will cost absolutely everything. The Lord Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And when you put and you do the mathematics and you put the things on the balance, you will see, young person, older person, even though it can be quite costly to stand up in front of your friends to say, look, I'm not going down that road. I'm going to seek to live as a Christian. Even though that can be very, very costly, it does not compare to the cost of walking away from the gospel, walking away from the kingdom of God and following the world. Because if you do that, you will lose everything. There's accounting the cost, but oh, count the cost of not walking with the Lord. The last thing I would say this evening is it meant a readiness to persevere in the faith. Ruth says here, where you die, I will die. What was Ruth saying? Ruth was saying, I'm earnest here. This is not some fleeting decision. Naomi, I'm with you. I'm going to follow you to the end. Come thick and thin. Through whatever comes, I'm going to persevere by the grace of God. The New Testament says this, run with perseverance the race set out before you. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 24:13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And Peter says, make your calling and election sure. So tonight, as I finish, and I do finish with this, a couple of very simple but solemn questions. I ask you tonight as a pastor and a minister and a preacher from the bottom of my heart, and only you can answer this. And here's the question. Are you converted? Are you converted? Have you heard the call of the gospel? Most of you have. Have you heard the call of the gospel to come to give your life to Jesus? Have you come to him? The scriptures say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Tonight, are you converted? Let us pray. Father, we pray tonight that long after the voice of the preacher is finished, that the voice of the Holy Spirit would continue to work in our hearts. And if we are not converted, Lord, that you would convict us and bring us to that place. And if we are, that we would seek to grow deeper in that conversion and to go on with Christ. And we ask this prayer in our Saviour's name. Amen.